This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to this version of America Tonight. Boy, really somber news today. I was so shocked when I woke up and heard what had happened in Texas just outside of San Antonio. There's more details coming in now even, but 26 people were killed in a church shooting in Texas. The gunman was identified as a 26-year-old. He was dressed in tactical gear. He came into a Baptist church. I mean, just absolutely awful what happened. And a quick thinking man may have prevented more people from getting killed who was part of the congregation or, you know, a local man that was there. What happened was he saw what was happening. And there was a news conference on Sunday night where investigators, by the way, I'm going to jump back to that, offered a timeline of what happened at the attack at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, and they laid out really the whole deal of what the local resident did. But a gunman went into the church in this rural town. He was firing an assault weapon at the congregation who were going to the morning services. A community resident grabbed his own rifle, engaged the gunman, and the suspect dropped the rifle, which was an AR assault rifle, and fled from the church. The man then chased the gunman. When the cops spotted the suspect's car a short time later at the county line, they found the gunman inside, who was dead of a bullet wound. He was later identified as Devin Patrick Kelly. They don't know if it was self-inflicted or he was shot by the guy who was chasing him, but thank goodness for that man, because he, even though 26 people died, which was is unbelievable, 23 found dead inside the church. I mean, it's the deadliest mass shooting in Texas history, fifth deadliest in our history. And the people in Sutherland Springs are just absolutely shocked by this. But what a brave guy. And the fact that he did that probably still, again, saved some lives. And it's really sad because this, again, a sick and twisted, horrible individual goes into a church, no less. And, I mean, we've seen this before. Goes into a church, and you're talking about kids that were in the service. You're talking about older people that were in the service. You're talking about so many lives that have been disrupted as a result of this. Oh, my gosh. I mean, just absolutely awful. You know, what's happened here, just incredible that, sadly, that, you know, all these people were killed, and all they were doing was going to church. They were going to church to worship and ended up not leaving the church. And again, what I've understood, and I called to a few people, and it's not a surprise, of course, the community is just shocked. They're shocked. They're trying to figure out, you know, how do you deal with this? How do you really deal with this? And again, thank goodness somebody did something about it. Thank goodness. But it had been just even a little sooner. But still, thank goodness that happened. But just absolutely, you know, absolutely sick, terrible, you know. Awful. And then in the meantime, I heard this story also today, and we verified this and checked this story out too. Republican Senator Rand Paul has 5 rib fractures, 3 displaced fractures, and lung contusions after an assault in his house. They were initially saying minor injuries, but rib fractures like that? A neighbor assaulted him, apparently, intentionally. The motive, unknown. But assaulting a member of Congress, federal crime, partner, could result, they say, in several charges, including felony assault or assault of a member. Capitol Police, FBI are investigating it. So this guy, this neighbor, goes onto the property and tackles him. I mean, wow, crazy, awful. And again, 5 rib fractures, 3 displaced fractures, and lung contusions. Can you imagine? And yeah, and initially it was thought it wasn't quite as bad, but obviously it's it wasn't good at all. All right, in the meantime, we just dove right into this, and of course I blasted you with the horrific news of what happened in that church outside of San Antonio, and certainly our thoughts and prayers and everything else. It seems so cliche to say that and anymore. It seems like we're always saying it, but that's what I think is heartfelt, and I know that many of you probably feel the same way too. I want to give you some good news and some perspective. While all this horribleness is happening, how about this? We turn to the world of sport, and it is sport. And today, or actually Sunday, the New York City Marathon, which has been around forever and a day, finally, after 40 years, an American woman finished first. Yeah, I thought it was Shailene Flanagan. Unofficial time, 2 hours, 26 minutes, 53 seconds, 36 years old. 36 years old, so she beat the 3-time defending champ, a Kenyan woman, by a minute and 1 second. You know, they don't make the times official, I guess, till like about a month when they go through everything. But she crossed the finish line in tears. She was holding the flag, the stars and stripes, in the air and smiling and wrapped herself in the flag. And she said the feeling was indescribable when they announced her name on the podium. Wow. That's awesome. It's awesome that an American woman won it. It's awesome that she, at her age and after coming off an injury, was able to do that. And it's the first time an American woman took the title since 1977. Wow. 1977. And in the race, of course, there was worries about this race because of what happened with the 8 people who were killed on the bike path in Manhattan last week. But, the race went on and everything was fine. And, wow, congratulations to her. That's huge. Now, she is a runner and she does hold a couple of records for 3,000-meter indoor, 5,000-meter indoor races. And, you know, she took the bronze in the 10,000-meter contest in the 2008 Olympics. But that's still pretty impressive, absolutely. I mean, very, very cool. And she made her debut, I guess, in the New York City Marathon back in 2010, finished second when she made her debut. So congratulations to the first woman to do that in so long, Shailene Flanagan. All right, let's move to quickly, something else I'm going to squeeze in here, and then we're going to bolt onto our regular programming. I'm going to cycle back again and mention about the church, because I know that so many of you were concerned about that. And what we do know is that the gunmen did have tactical gear on. Reasons why, I mean, who knows? Because, of course, he was found dead in the car after that chase and whatnot. When it happened, around 11:20, he was actually spotted at a gas station across the street from the church, and then he went over to the church, and he just continued shooting. He just kept shooting, and people were obviously screaming in shock and anything you can absolutely imagine. But the neighbor, thank goodness for the neighbor, coming out and helping the people. And, you know, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said, I'll end on this for this segment, he said, we are dealing with the largest mass shooting in our state's history. Wow. All right, we're kicking it back to some more programming here on America Tonight. Hang with us.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Starting. 383.
100 and 11. Cliche, but so true. And we're talking about the Astros winning the World Series. Game 7, heavy drama, knocked off the Dodgers. It was an incredible series, I have to say. 5-1, the final score in the decisive final game. The Astros just stranded too many runners, and Yu Darvish, who couldn't get through two, gave up too many runs once again, and that was part of the story. Clayton Kershaw came in for the Dodgers, and he did a great job while he was on the mound, but it certainly wasn't enough, and the Houston Astros got the punch that they needed offensively and were able to win Game 7 for the first World Series championship in their history. So once again, I'll say, you know, congratulations to the Houston Astros. And waiting in our virtual green room right now, he was watching just as I was watching, is John Leo Nudeikis, and he is a baseball historian and director of something we talked about before, the Sweet Spot. So, John, you were watching that, and I covered Yu Darvish when he was with the Rangers, and he had nothing in the beginning of this game. So we saw in this final seventh game that obviously the Astros were able to get out there pretty early, and that made part of the difference. What did you think of this Game 7?
Well, I think, first of all, it's good to be with you and your audience again, Kate. Thank you for having me. I think that the Houston's managerial, the coaching staff, did a fantastic job in terms of solving the Dodgers lineup, specifically handling the big bats of people like Justin Turner and really reducing Cody Bellinger to basically a scapegoat. I mean, they found his weakness and they just punished it.
Boy, that's the truth. You know, and I've covered this game for a long time because besides doing this show, I do a show for NBC, and I had AJ on the show, and I also had George Springer on the show, and George Springer was just amazing. His bat came alive when they needed it to come alive, didn't it?
Well, the thing that was amazing about George Springer, if you remember back in Game 1, he looked like a bum. He looked completely over his head.
He did.
Kershaw just owned him. And then suddenly, he just emerged to be this beast, 6'3", 215 pounds, just one heck of a hitter, and he did just about everything you could do, much deservedly win that Most Valuable Player award.
Oh, yeah, the 5 home runs, just absolutely incredible, and you said it right. He was so cold as ice, and then he came alive again at the right time. So you, as somebody who obviously loves baseball, you do a lot of research on baseball, you have a long storied history on films that you've worked on, including 3 that are in the permanent collection. We talked about this before in the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, the day the World Series stopped, not exactly Cooperstown, and a century in the bleachers. So you watch this, and where do you think this ranks in history? Great ratings.
Well, I think in the history of World Series, it's one of the greats. The Game 5, well, it has to be one of the top 10 greatest World Series games of all time. And the home runs, the scoring, it was just off
crazy.
The charts. I mean, you, as a baseball fan, you could not have asked for anything more of a World Series.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm sure for Dodger fans it's tough because they were out there, they were excited. It had been, 29 years since the Dodgers had won back in 88. Everybody remembers, I think, Kirk Gibson pumping his fist and that whole thing. So I think this is tough for the Dodgers and the Dodger fans, but very exciting for Houston because you understand and doing, like I said, the research and tying it to history. This is big for Houston itself, too, because the way the fans are supporting the team, it's the first time they've won in their history. Plus, they just went through Hurricane Harvey, and this has been very uplifting. And that's what I think is special about baseball, and we've seen it with this city and that team, don't you think?
Well, sure. And that city being able to have 3 World Series games there, the tax revenue that is going to benefit them, not to mention the moral camaraderie that community desperately needed. But these were the 2 very best teams in baseball, and this was a heavyweight slugfest. Each team giving the other as good as it got until they finally dropped the other guy. The last 2 games were a little bit of a downslope in terms of the overall excitement of the World Series. But it really shouldn't take away. I mean, to me, this was really the World Series that time forgot. For all the sabermetrics of today's game, this felt like Earl Weaver rose from the dead. He's the manager that eschewed the hit and run and stolen bases in favor of getting a couple guys on base and waiting for a guy named Robinson to hit one over the fence. We didn't see any hit and run hardly, or very few bunts, very few stolen bases. This was all about getting under the ball and hitting it as far as you could.
Mm. Yeah,
look
absolutely.
At John Peterson, what he did. He should be remembered as somebody who really staged quite a comeback in this season and for his career. This was a marvelous series for him.
Yeah, I agree. So let's talk about the sweet spot for people listening. It's this documentary series that focuses on the human side of baseball, season 3 out. Tell us about why, first of all, for people who may be hearing this for the first time, what the sweet spot really focuses on and why season 3 is special to you.
Sure. Well, the sweet spot is the first television series to look at the human side of baseball. And our mission is to preserve baseball history, celebrate a love of the game, but really share stories that transcend sport and capture the imagination. I want to transform how we think about baseball and go beyond box scores to reveal the humanity that's woven into the game. And so what we did was we took a look at the role of women in baseball, and what was really disturbing was that for the past 100 years, I discovered that, and it is no real secret, but that women, American women, have been systematically back as 1909, and I was shocked to find out that, you know, girls couldn't play Little League baseball until 1974, and that was only because they had Little League was sued because they kicked a girl off a team because girls weren't allowed back then. And I talked to players and coaches and parents who talked about their kids being psychologically and physically assaulted simply because they were good enough to want to be able to play on boys' teams in high school. And it was just shocking. I mean, it really strikes the core of what it means to be an American. And at that point, we're really not talking about baseball. We're talking about the issue of gender inequality in this country and about fighting for a person's hopes and dreams and access and equality and, at times, basic human rights and dignity. So we devoted the entire season to telling this story, and just about everybody I talked to said, I had no idea this was happening. But one of the things we also look at is not laying this issue out on the table for everyone to discuss, but to understand the successes that have occurred and the groundswell that is happening right now to create more opportunities for girls and women to be able to coach as well as play and umpire baseball beyond Little League.
Yeah, love it. John, where can everybody check this out?
You can find us on Amazon.com. Go to Movies and TV in their search box and type in the sweet spot, and you'll see we've got three seasons of binge-worthy content for you. Our first two seasons, we've got stories on people like Jackie Robinson, Mudcat Grant, Ernie Banks, a couple of gals from the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, The Black Art of Catching. So that's up there right now, ready for you to watch. We're also on Roku, and we're on Vimeo On Demand, and people can watch us on their smartphones, on their computers at home, and their smart TVs.
I love it. John, thanks so much for joining us, and so many ways to access that. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again down the line.
Thanks so much, Kate.
Yeah, good stuff. Seriously, I didn't even give him his due. I mean, listen, he's been producing really award-winning media experiences. We talked about this before. If you go to Disney theme parks, he will have seen something of his. Guarantee it. If you're at Seattle's Science Fiction Museum and Hall of Fame, you know, right there, hit music documentary, The Wrecking Crew. So this has been what he's done. He's focused on, you know, this baseball, and again, the human side, as he said, and these stories are pretty incredible. I've seen the first two seasons, and he described them well. It really is binge worthy, and I'm anxious to see the third season personally. All right, coming up next, we're going to introduce you to this fabulous poet. So interesting. Stay with us here on America Tonight.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm feeling
everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
All right, welcome back to America Tonight. I spoke too soon. Sylvia Stern, of course, is joining us in our final segment as we make the final turn for this hour on America Tonight. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. At the top of the show, we talked about what happened in New York and, of course, the reaction in Washington to it. Also, the Astros winning Game 7 for the first World Series title in their history. And then the conversation about where it sticks in the mind for what they were able to do. And I'll tell you, there's so much going on. It's incredible. We could probably fill 10 hours when we talk about what's happening and the buzz in the land, I like to say. And the buzz in the land sadly includes this. I just got a note maybe about an hour ago from a friend saying, checking off, saying, I'm okay. What does that mean? Two men were killed, and a woman was taken to hospital after a shooting at a Colorado Walmart. So this happened much earlier, but it happened in a Denver suburb. And, people describe hiding in the Walmart before being evacuated by police. The police have confirmed they have no one in custody for the shooting as of very late on Wednesday. They're looking at the security footage and interviewing witnesses to try to get as much information, of course, and a description of the potential suspects. They didn't release a lot of details about the circumstances of the shooting or the condition of the woman who was injured. But they're trying to piece all of this together. Customers were running like crazy, and employees were screaming, and it's that same deal where you hear that it sounds like a firecracker, but then it's louder, and then, sadly, it's shots. And this is exactly what happened. Again, shots at a Walmart in a Denver suburb. So two people dead and details to follow, because there's a lot of vague details about what happened here. Just, again, that it's an incredibly sad situation. And you have people that were panicked because they weren't really quite sure what they were hearing. I'm quite sure some of you listening to this show are people who check in on Facebook. Maybe you check in a couple times a day. Maybe you only do it once in a while. Maybe you post. We, of course, post, or I do for the show. And when I post, I talk about who's on. I talk about our Forbes segments. I talk about some of what's happening in my life, because people want to know what else is going on. And this is crazy, because I can certainly remember this. The House Intelligence Committee released a sample of the ads of a Russian troll farm that they purchased on Facebook during and after the presidential election. The ads that were released focused on issues like immigration, religion, and race, and, you know, alluded specifically to Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders. Facebook now is saying they found more than 3,000 ads linked to the Internet Research Agency, which is a St. Petersburg troll farm with ties to the Russian government. And the ads were seen by more than 11 million people between 2015 and 2017. The House Intelligence Committee has been expected to release all of the ads, which Facebook has turned over to Congress. And Mueller's office, special counsel Robert Mueller's office. But, you know, the committee's Democrats who were responsible for the release called the selection of the ads that they made public a representative sampling. So there you go. So now some of those were released. They're, you know, and I can remember seeing them. I'm one of the eyes, I'm sure, like anyone else, that probably saw them. And this troll farm had an incredible reach thanks to, you know, Facebook. And they definitely targeted certain people. There's no, you know, question about it. And nobody knew, of course, until after this, but boy, oh boy. And then here's the latest on the New York City attack that we mentioned. The suspect is a guy who's originally from Uzbekistan, and he's been living in the U.S. since 2010. Uber said he started driving for them in New Jersey about 6 months ago. He's 29 years old, and he's accused of using a rented pickup truck to mow down those cyclists on a busy bike path near the World Trade Center in Manhattan. He, of course, was shot and then stopped by police. I mentioned at the top he's in the hospital and wanted an ISIS flag put in his room. But now Uber comes into this because they're wondering about the background checks. And then as they go back into his history, he was charged in Missouri, in Platte, Missouri, with failure to equip a motor vehicle carrier or maintain a required brake system in 2015. He missed a court appearance in November of 2016. The court entered a guilty plea on his behalf. So, you know, New Jersey rules for ride hailing services like Uber and Lyft require the companies to do criminal background checks, which are usually outsourced to special firms. So convictions for crimes like reckless driving automatically disqualify a driver. And the company is getting a lot of questions, but not responding yet at this point to what, you know, what, again, what that means. So, boy, oh boy, the New York truck attack suspect passing the background check, and Uber was what he was doing. And very sad, of course, what happened, and something we hadn't seen in a very long time in New York. You think of 9/11, and that was really the big attack in New York City, and there hasn't been anything like that, the loss of life like that, in any kind of a terrorist situation until now, until this happens the other day. And I really feel for the people, because there were other people that were, I mean, there were all kinds of people that were on that path, and there were others who were injured. 27 other people were injured. I mean, can you imagine? Just absolutely awful. And now has raised the questions again about who's coming in the country, what do we know, this guy was planning this attack since last year, you know, how it unfolded. There were, of the eight people who were killed, there were five people from Argentina who were on a high school reunion trip, and they were among those that were killed. Well, you know, because no warning and plowing over the jumping the curb, and that's what you know, that's what happened. So according to the license plate readers, the suspect was on a bridge in New York City. He was southbound on the West Side Highway, and that's, it was in the afternoon, you know, 2:40 something in the afternoon, and that's when he jumped that curb, and he continued down the path, smashing into pedestrians and people on bicycles as well. And then at the end, his truck, his rented truck, collided with a school bus at one point. And then after the collision, he got out of the truck with a pellet gun and a paintball gun, and he started to yell Allah Akbar, as I mentioned before, and just 911 calls just started to pour in almost immediately. And you know, he was fired at, he was hit in the stomach, and then taken into custody, and the rest will watch as it unfolds. But he was charged with providing material support to ISIS and violence and destruction of motor vehicles. Just absolutely awful. Awful, scary, and very sad for the families of those people. I always say it's not just eight, it's multiply it by the other amount of people that were involved in the lives of those people, and some of them were tourists, of course, so they're in New York City, and people are getting calls about, you know, their friend or their loved one or whoever being killed in this random attack, and you can't bring the person back. So it's always, to me, the victims and the lack of discussion about the victims, the timing of that and how that happened. I mean, just absolutely awful. And here's a quick one for you. Papa John's is making news a little bit, not for how much pizza they're selling or for the owner and what the owner's doing, but they've been a big sponsor for the NFL since 2010. And the Papa John's founder and CEO, John Schnatter, is saying that the debacle that's happening in the NFL should be squarely put on Commissioner Roger Goodell, because he says leadership starts at the top. He's right, and this is a poor example of leadership, and the NFL has hurt Papa John's shareholders because the ratings are declining. The viewership is down, so there's rating slumps, and some NFL fans have not turned out because of the controversy. So they're wondering if Papa John's is going to pull ads, and there's discussion about that. All right, a really cool poet coming up next, Sylvia Stern, here on ATN. I could be dating a scientist, but instead of setting out to change.
Google Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
the stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
As a big fan of poetry, I was extremely excited to get the opportunity to have a conversation with Sylvia Stern, and her book is called Walking Through Poetry is the Rhythm of Life. I love, love, love that title. Sylvia, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I have to ask you right off the bat before we dive deeper into it, how'd you come up with that title? It's very clever.
Well, it's the second edition of my book. So the first one was a little bit different. It was a few people that suggested back and forth, walking through poetry, we were going to have it. And then they decided to just put it on there. And then the picture of the book shows a woman walking through like a map area. So.
Yeah. And yeah, it's funny because I know we had a quick conversation before we even jumped on air, I guess the other day, and you were talking about, talking about the fact that you like to walk through different kinds of weather and sort of the seasonal changes. As somebody that's spent a lot of time all over the country and I've lived through a lot of those seasonal changes, there is something about that, right? Does that inspire you?
Walking, the movement is, gives me ideas. I'm a retired school teacher, and when I couldn't think of things that I was going to do for summer school, I would get on the road and just walk, and the ideas would come to me. And it doesn't matter night or morning or bad weather or any time, because I walk in the early morning before the sun comes out with a headlight on my head. And so walking meant a great deal to me, and it has all my life, and that's when ideas come to me, when I'm moving.
Yeah, so it's interesting that you say that, because there's other people, Sylvia, that would agree with you, that would say they get great ideas from just going out the front door, back door, whatever, and just the movement, like you say, just walking, it just prompts your mind, I guess, perhaps to open up or whatever it might be. And then would you think of whatever it was that you would think of, you'd come up with an idea of something for the kids, et cetera. You would just remember it and then write it down by the time you had gotten home?
Sometimes I'd have to mull it over in my head. If it was a poem, I'd have to keep repeating it and repeating because you can lose it just like that. And so I would keep saying, and I never bring a pad and pencil with me. So I would keep mulling the idea in my head and working it through. And then I'd get home and get right to my computer. And then I'd type it on the Microsoft. And that's how I love to type. I can compose on that very well after that.
Yeah. Have you always been a lover of poetry?
Yes, I'm more so as I've gotten old, if I've gotten older. But when I was a teacher, I would have my second graders work with color poetry. We would take a color when we'd brainstorm all the things that we could think about. And so, and we'd do some poetry then. It was hard for children, but they have a little naturalness that comes out that I enjoy about it. They're not as afraid of it as adults can be. But I would say that as I've gotten older, I've enjoyed it more, and I have a lot of old books, old poetry books, I mean, before 1900, and I treasure those books, and I love to read those.
Wow, no kidding, before the 1900s. Do you have a favorite poet? Is there a couple of favorite poets you have?
Oh, well, there is. I like a little bit of many of them. I even like some Robert Burns, and I like to read it in the way he wrote it, you know, try to his Scottish sound. And because he wrote in three different, the English and the Scottish, and I don't know what the other one was called. And I like James Whitcomb Riley. A lot of his is just fun to read. And Emily Dickinson, of course, she was in between the time there. Robert Frost. And Oliver Wendell Holmes, and I could name quite a few there, yes.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Emily Dickinson's, too. My father, I mentioned this to you, he was actually a poet. I would call him a poet. He was a newspaper writer, but he was really, his passion was poetry and wrote poetry, and she was one of his favorites. And it's interesting, to as somebody now who's delved in this a little bit more with your retirement, is it interesting to compare the way the poets, some that you mentioned, came up with their material or how their material is different from one another?
Well, I don't know how they came up with it. I'm not sure about that. But I'm always attracted to nature poetry, like William Wordsworth and Adapt. Of course, that's the most well-known of his. But I'm not sure how they came up with it. But I like to compare them. I like even some that have a rhythm, just like there's one written by, I believe his last name is Czar, and he wrote The Rhythm of the Rails. And it's so much fun to read it because there's a rhythm to it that you can feel yourself rocking down the train. So he had to do that. He had to be on a train to actually hear that, you know, to feel that. And I like even some of Robert Service and his are, sometimes they're kind of tough. And the cowboy poetry, I like to get into some of that. And there was, I don't remember his name now, and he was before, maybe just early 1900s, and it was their life. And they wrote of their life, what they experienced.
Yeah, and you, obviously, you write poems, and do you feel that you, I mean, do you, obviously, it's different what you're writing today than maybe what you wrote years ago. Have you seen a big change as going from being a school teacher to now having more time to volunteer and garden and travel and spend more time with poetry? Have your poems changed?
Well, some of my poems have changed in that I'm trying to celebrate retirement age and getting older and see some, like I'm writing, I wrote one poem about I'm a much older girl now, but I still have some of the same child in me. And I like to, I write about humorous things that come up that I probably wouldn't have energy for then. Like crows on the wire, and when you're walking down the road, be careful because they will mimic you. And I will write about, I still go back into my color poems, and I go into the seasons, into the garden, because I do a lot of gardening. And a lot of things are nature with me, I have to admit that.
Yeah, so we started off talking about walking and the inspiration of walking, and obviously gardening falls into that category for you too as well. The people around you, how do they feel about, I mean, it's got to be kind of interesting for them, the fact that you've been able to pull these collections together and that you do this. What do your friends say? What do the people around you say about your ability to come up with these poems?
I have some friends who have told me, and some of these friends I don't know as well, but they're people, that my poetry was very comforting to them during chemotherapy, recovering from breast cancer. And I have had other people give my books to these people, to, you know, sisters and cousins and all, that were going through chemotherapy especially. And then I've had other friends tell me that they could understand my poetry. It was easy to understand and they could relate to it. And that it was positive, and they used it, they would read it before they got up, after they got up in the morning with a cup of coffee. And I've had some of them even included with their devotional time. And then I have friends who are not interested at all because poetry doesn't mean a thing to them. And so, I mean, I have a variety of all. And then I have a friend who I send my poems to, email, and then she critiques it for me. And she tells me, you gotta work on this a little more. So so I think that's, you know, valuable too. And my husband will tell me, he'll even tell me when I use the word too often in it. But there's a variety of responses.
How many poems do you think you've written over the years?
Oh, a couple hundred, a few hundred of them probably. Yes. If I combine both books and then other poetry that I haven't ever, you know, put into a book, at least a couple hundred, yes.
Wow. Do you have a favorite poem?
I have one poem that people who don't like my poetry because they feel it's a little too tame, a little too conservative, but they like my poem about the river that splits through New London, the Wolf River. And probably the ones on conflicts between people, because I volunteer a lot and there's a lot of conflicts when there are volunteers.
Well, that's interesting, talking about volunteers and a lot of conflicts. So if you've written hundreds of poems, Sylvie, it seems to me that, you write about what's happening in your life, and that's how some of that poetry comes out, right, and manifests itself?
Yes. Now, the poem called Conflicts tells us to appreciate people who we work with, even though they may not give us much time and effort as we would like them to, but we have to realize everyone is fighting their own battles, and everyone has a different level of commitment and time and energy to give. And so we have to appreciate whether they give short time or a long time, and learn how to say thank you and say sorry. And that poem, some people have put in their frame and in a picture frame and put on their desk to remind them. So that made me feel good.
I like that. I think that people listening to this show should do the same thing. And now that you've said that, I think that I'm going to end up doing the same thing and put that above my studio. What a pleasure to speak with Sylvia Stern. And again, she's the author of the book Walking Through Poetry. Is the Rhythm of Life. And we're going to chat with her again a little bit later in the show. Be happy.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.